Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, good Thursday, everyone, and welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Contreras with you 12 to 3, Monday through Friday. And, of course, a reminder tonight for all you high school football fans, we'll be on the air. Braden Soprano, yours truly, will be on 9 to 11 tonight with our high school football show. And we'll have a couple of head coaches on tonight from the participants tomorrow night. And, again, tomorrow night will be our first game on 97.3 The Fan. Now the Padres season's over. We'll be both on 97.3 The Fan plus Radio.com. And, of course, with Radio.com, you can get our games anywhere in the universe. And, again, just download it. Tomorrow night, a great matchup. We'll have Carlsbad coming in with a 4-1 mark, taking on the Torrey Pines Falcons. I'll be back at my alma mater tomorrow night. The Falcons sitting with a 3-2 mark. Tonight we'll have the head coach of Carlsbad on, Thad McNeil, and the head coach of Torrey Pines, Ron Gladnick. So hopefully you'll tune in tonight between 9 and 11 if you're into high school football. Hope everyone having a great Thursday. We're going to get into this Padre managerial search. And amazing. There are so many unbelievable candidates for this job. And now I know Mickey Callaway got fired this morning by the New York Mets, and that wasn't a big surprise. Gabe Kapler may end up getting fired in the next couple of days there in Philadelphia. But now we have seven managerial openings here in Major League Baseball. And, you know, I look at this list of the Padres. I'm going to go through it here in a second. But you know what? There's no way they can not hire a good baseball man. I mean, I've been talking, and I do believe where the Padres are at right now, and I think all of you would agree with me, you need to hire a guy that does have experience. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with some of these guys with experience. I mean, with the Mets opening up, maybe Joe Girardi gets that job, maybe Buck Showalter, maybe Joe Maddon. If the Padres ended up not hiring someone with major league managerial experience, I still think there are a lot of great candidates out there. One of the candidates we haven't even talked about is Sandy Alomar Jr., who's been a longtime coach in the big leagues. He's been a bench coach. He's been in Cleveland, I think, since 2010, now working with Terry Francona. We've heard Mark Loretta's name for the Cub job, the Padre job. We've heard Phil Nevin. I heard Brett Boone this morning. When I was out and about early this morning, I heard Brett Boone singing the praises of one Phil Nevin. Phil Nevin's a great baseball man. I know a lot of you know Phil Nevin from his playing days, a rough, tough, gruff guy. But Phil Nevin's a great baseball man. You think about his pedigree, how he came up through the college ranks at Cal State Fullerton. He was coached exceptionally well there. Guys like Augie Garrido, George Horton had a tremendous influence on him. And then all the years playing in the big leagues and, you know, having his best years here in San Diego under Bruce Bochy. And let me tell you, I was in the Padre clubhouse a lot in those days. And I know a lot about Mark Loretta. I know a lot about Phil Nevin. I know a lot about Mark Kotze. His name popped up last night. And all three of those guys are exceptional baseball people. And you look at Mark Loretta. Mark Loretta, after his playing days, he took a job here in San Diego working in the Padre front office, going down to the minor leagues, working with players. He was at spring training, but he worked in the office. And he knows the organization inside and out. He's only spent the 1 year with the Chicago Cubs. And Mark Loretta is a smart guy, a real smart guy. And then you look at Nevin. Nevin worked in the Tiger organization. He worked in the Arizona Diamondback organization. He spent 1 year up there with Bruce Bochy as his third base coach. And the last couple of years now, the third base coach of the New York Yankees. Phil Nevin, Mark Loretta, at some point in time, are going to be major league managers. Now, last night, I didn't know where he was at on this. But, you know, I'm watching the game last night. And by the way, congratulations to Tampa Bay. That was an outstanding performance last night, taking down the Oakland A's in their own ballpark 5-1. They ripped four homers last night. Yandy Diaz hadn't hardly played, and it was in like a 2-for-24 slump and hits two opposite field home runs last night in that ball game. And they move on now to take on the Houston Astros. A good ball game. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. But when the game was over, I was trying to finish up preparing for the show today, and again, you're always preparing, and you know, I get in here an hour before, and I'm writing down notes and writing down about Mickey Callaway, but last night, it pops up on Twitter that Mark Kotze is interested in managing. Now, Mark Kotze is another guy, kind of like Phil Nevin, came through the Cal State Fullerton program, had a really nice major league career, had a couple of different stops here in San Diego, and then ended up being the Padres hitting coach after he spent some time up in the front office. And Kotze went up and for a couple of years was a bench coach for Bob Melvin. And because of a family situation back here in San Diego, he wanted to have a little bit more flexibility. And he's still working with the Oakland A's right now. And Mark, I think, would be an outstanding major league manager. The thing that I like about all three of these guys, and Eric Hosmer talked about it yesterday in the paper, and I read it again last night. You want somebody that walks in the clubhouse door and has instant credibility. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you don't have credibility when a guy like a Mark Kotze, a Phil Nevin, or Mark Loretta walk through the front door, then you know what? You need to do a little history lesson, my friend, because those guys played a long time in the big leagues. They played for some of the best managers in baseball, and they've got a tremendous pedigree, not only in baseball, but a great pedigree with the Padre organization. What direction they're going to go, I have no idea. And again, I do think they need to hire someone with experience. Now, yesterday, they interviewed Rod Barajas, and I think that's fair. Rod Barajas has been a good trooper with this organization. He's been with the organization now 6 years. He managed 3 years down there in El Paso, won three division titles, did a hell of a job, very well thought of by the Padre players. I know, they only went 1-7. You know, I saw people on Twitter on the weekend when they got beat over in Arizona 1-0. Well, Rod Barajas, you could cross him off the list. Hey, Rod Barajas is going to be a major league manager, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, it may not be in San Diego, but Rod Barajas is definitely going to be a major league manager the way I see it. So they interviewed Rod Barajas. We're hearing that they're going to interview Mike Socha. And again, Socha's pedigree is fantastic. He came up through the Dodger organization. You know, Tommy Lasorda loved Mike Socha. Then he spent 19 years with the Angels, their manager, won that 2002 title. He went 1,650. And 1,428. The guy's a winner. And the thing that I like about Socha, his teams are always very, very aggressive. There was no better baseball team for those 19 years that could go from first to third and second to home. I mean, they always push the envelope. I think that would be a great guy to talk to, and apparently the Padres are going to talk with him. Buck Showalter, 20 years in the big leagues as a manager, has never won a World Series, but he's done a great job of taking young ball players and develop them into major league players. And one of those players is Manny Machado. The other names on the list we've talked about, you need to at least make a phone call to Bruce Bochy. And Bochy's probably going to say, hey, thanks, but no thanks. Going to take the year off, spend time with the wife, the family. But you have to at least make that call. I think they need to make that call just for you and me out there because we want to know, is Bochy interested? And again, I'm not a big believer you bring a guy back for a second run. I mean, we see it in football sometimes, in college, where coaches, you know, they had great success. They move on somewhere else. They come back, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years later, and it's never really the same. But I do think you have to make that phone call to Bruce Bochy. You have to talk to Joe Girardi. You have to talk to Ron Washington. A.J. Preller has a history with Ron Washington, having worked with him in Texas. And then I really think you got to figure out what Madden's doing. Is Madden now going to be in line for this job with the New York Mets? Probably. But would he rather be in sunny Southern California, maybe managing the Angels? We'll have to find out. And, you know, there are other names out there. This morning, John Heyman threw it out there that the Padres are going to interview Brad Ausmus, the former Tiger manager and former Angel manager of one season. You know, I was looking up Brad's numbers today, and he went 314 and 332 with the Tigers in 4 years. And you take a look, in 2014, he went 90-72. They won the division that year and then were swept three straight by the Baltimore Orioles, managed by Buck Showalter. In 2015, they finished in fifth place, which is last, 74-87. In 2016, 86-75, second place finish, didn't make the playoffs. And then his final year in 2017, and it was was becoming a rebuild at that point in time, 64-98, last place in the American League Central. So, and then this last year they finished in fourth place with the Angels. We know about all the struggles with the Angels. So 72-90. So we're going to get into that. I want to get to your phone calls today. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Our two guests today, coming up at 1:35, or I should say at 12:35, Jay Paris from Forbes. We're going to talk about the Padre managerial search. We're also going to talk about Billy Epler and the Angels with Jay. And then at 1:35, we got a great guy. He's a Bronco insider from KOA in Denver, Brandon Cristal. We're going to talk Denver Chargers, and we're going to talk Colorado State Aztecs with him. So we got a big show. When we come back, I'm going to share with you why October 3rd is such a big day in the life of Coach John Quintero. We'll do that next, right here on 97.3 The Fan. 12:19 the time, Coach John Quintero with you at 3 o'clock, and then we'll get you a little bit of Gwen and Chris. We got an unbelievable football game tonight. I cannot wait for this game tonight. You've got the Rams trying to atone for what happened last Sunday at the Coliseum, where they got run off the field by Tampa Bay 55-40. They're going into CenturyLink tonight against the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are favored, I think, right now by about a point and a half. Russell Wilson playing great football, maybe the best football he's played in his NFL career so far this year. Doesn't have a lot of weapons around him, but that defense is playing well. I saw Jadeveon Clowney last weekend running back that interception of 27 yards for a touchdown. And the Rams trying to find their running game. They fell behind real early in the game last week. They only ran the ball 11 times last week. You can't throw it as much as Jared Goff is throwing. And when you got to throw it all the time, you're going to turn it over. And Goff turned it over a ton last week against Tampa Bay. Okay, I want to share with you why October 3rd is such a special day in my life. 10 years ago today, I had a heart attack on a Saturday. I believe it was about 5 a.m. And I'm going to tell you kind of what led up to it a little bit. Number one, I was working way too much. I wasn't working out. I, you know, was eating a lot of ballpark food, not, you know, getting exercise in. I was doing 17 radio shows a week. I was doing a five-day-a-week daytime talk show from 2 to 4, from normally from the ballpark, sometimes from studio if the Padres were on the road. And then I was doing the pre- and post-game show Monday through Friday, and I was doing the pregame show on Saturday. And then also Saturday mornings, I did a two-hour show with Bob Scanlon called the World Baseball Network. And so, you know, I was just working too much. So I got home from the ballpark, and what's interesting about this, Tim Flannery and Boats were in town. It was October 2nd on a Friday night, and then I had the heart attack the next morning. So I'm down on the field Friday night and talking to Flan, and he was hitting fun. Goes like, "Hey, Flan, I'll see you tomorrow night." He goes, "All right, Coach, see ya." So I go and, you know, do the pregame, do the postgame show. I went home, and in those days, we used to do the postgame show until midnight. No matter, you know, what time the game ended, we went to midnight. That's just what we did. So I get home, and I had a show the next morning. It was going to be our last World Baseball Network show because there were only 2 days left in the season, the third and fourth. The Giants were playing the Padres both of those days on Saturday and Sunday. So we were having a guest, Frank Wren, who at the time was an assistant general manager of the Atlanta Braves. And I wanted to stay up when I got home at about 1 o'clock. I stayed up till about 2 because I wanted to prepare to interview him. So I finally go to bed about 2 o'clock. I wake up, and I felt a little warm on my forehead, and it was at 5 o'clock. So I walked downstairs. I got a glass of milk and a glass of water, and it just didn't feel right. And went back to bed, got up at about 8:30, took a shower, got cleaned up, headed down to the station. And I can right now, I can see Bob Scanlon's face when I walked in, because normally I would get there before Bob. And I got there at about 15 minutes to 10. Our show was from 10 to 12, and a lot of you listened to it. It was a very popular show. In fact, it was the number one show on morning radio back in those days on AM radio. And, you know, that's 10 years ago. So I walked through the door, and Bob looks at me. He goes, "Hey, big man, it's nice you could show up today." And I said to Bob, I go, "Bob, I don't feel real good. I don't feel good." He goes, "Well, what's wrong?" And I told him. He goes, "Well, do you have any, you know, radiation down your arms?" I go, "No, I just don't feel right." So Aladdin Bail Bonds was our sponsor, and we had to do all these ad-libs during the show. And when Bob would do his, I would just lay my head down on the table and stick my arms out, and I just wasn't right. And then I'd suck it up and do my ad-lib, you know, 15 or 20 minutes later. So when the show gets over, You know, I'm going home because that night, for some reason, I wasn't going to do the pregame show. I was going to do a talk show with Dave Roberts and with Randy Jones. So I get home and I'm resting a little bit. I'm watching the Stanford-UCLA game. Stanford-UCLA game. And my wife goes, you know, I think we better go to the hospital. I go, no, honey. I go, I'm going to do this show with Dave and Randy tonight. And I go, the paramedics are really good at Petco. If I don't feel well, I'll go to see them, and they'll take care of me. She goes, nah, I think we're going to go to the hospital. So all of a sudden, I'm on my way to Scripps Hospital. And I get up there, and I'm there for about 45 minutes. And the doctor comes in as I'm laying on a gurney and goes, Mr. Quintero, you've had a heart attack. And any of you folks out in the listening audience that have had a heart attack, and it's a terrible feeling because I felt like I let down everyone, my family, my friends, my listening audience, because I didn't take good care of myself because I was working and was always worried about what I was going to do the next time I was on the air. And so, therefore, I'm laying there, and I'll never forget my wife and my youngest daughter were there. My oldest daughter hadn't gotten there yet. And they ran me through a couple of other tests, and then they go, we're going to take you into surgery. And I'd only been at the hospital for about 45 minutes, and they said, we're taking you into surgery. And I'll never forget when I was laying on that table, and many of you have had surgery for a variety of different things, and you're laying there on the table, and they got the light over top of you. And, you know, I had all kinds of thoughts going through my head. Am I going to be okay? Am I going to survive? You know, what surgery? You know, I didn't know anything about this. I'd never had any problems before. And so the doctor comes in, a guy by the name of Dr. Martin Charlotte, a top-notch cardiologist here in San Diego. And as he comes in, I'm laying there, you know, I'm pretty nervous. He goes, hey, John, I heard you talking about the Toronto Blue Jays this morning. And he'd been out with friends. I don't know if he was golfing or what, but he'd listened to the World Baseball Network. And the next thing you know, I wake up in intensive care in Scripps Hospital. That was October 3rd, 10 years ago today. And I got to tell you, the reason I'm sharing all this was a big day in my life because it changed my life in a variety of different ways. I was off the radio for 5 weeks. I probably could have come back physically within a couple of weeks, but I needed that extra time because I wasn't sure really where my life was headed at that point in time. I spent some time in Yuma, Arizona, trying to recover and just chill out a little bit. And I'll never forget, that was a couple of weeks after I had the heart attack, and Kelly and I were going into a movie, and my cell phone rang, and it was Bruce Bochy. And Bruce Bochy goes, hey, Coach, I wanted to call and check on you and see how you're doing. And at that time, he was already with the Giants, but they were in town when I had the heart attack. And, you know, I never saw him on that Saturday or Sunday, obviously, because I was in intensive care up there in Scripps. But that was the first time that I knew that Bruce Bochy and his family had some heart issues. But, you know, he just called to check on me. And to this day, I can't tell you, there's not a day that goes by wherever I go, especially when I go to Petco Park, that one of you fans out there doesn't say, hey, Coach, how you feeling? How you doing? And, you know, I want to tell you, I feel great. I'm so energized by everything that's going on in my life right now. Being at this radio station has been a true blessing to me. I'm having a lot of fun, and I'm just glad 10 years later that I'm here, I'm healthy, and able to talk sports each and every day. So I wanted to share that story with you, and the outpouring from you fans and from people involved with the ball clubs here in San Diego and Southern California, I'll always remember it and treasure it because a lot of you reached out to me in a variety of different ways, and 10 years later, I want to thank you again for that. We got to get to our show today. Braden, last night, the American League wild card game, what were your thoughts on that game last night?
Well, Yandy Diaz really set the tone last night. The first at bat, you know, put one over the fence. And the biggest thing for me was the Tampa Bay Rays being able to hit a lot of home runs at a ballpark. You don't really hit a lot of home runs at that time of night. And, you know, what, you know, the manager of the A's after the game was talking about how, you know what, Manaea only gave up four hits, but three of them were home runs. It's kind of a situation, especially hitting those home runs in our ballpark, where you just kind of tip your cap. It just kind of wasn't our day. But nine straight losses for the Oakland Athletics in elimination playoff games, that's got to stink.
Well, my thoughts on that, and I definitely have an opinion, and Billy Beane's a friend of mine, the general manager, president, owner, whatever his title is nowadays. We played together here for a summer when we were kids growing up in San Diego, and you know, Billy's a tremendous talent, done a great job up there. But you know, they still have the money ball theory where, you know, you want to walk, homer, or they strike out a lot, right? They don't do a lot of base stealing. They don't do a lot of moving runners up. They play the strictly the money ball philosophy. And see, I think money ball in a 162-game schedule, you can do that because you're going to face a lot of, you know, middle relievers, guys that, you know, left-handers that throw the curveball. And, you know, just you're not facing the number one, number two, or number three guy. And you get to the playoffs, it's a whole different dichotomy. And that's why I think the Oakland A's have really struggled. They don't do the little things, you know, hit and run, steal a base, move that runner from second to third with nobody out, drive a ball to the outfield with a runner on second base and nobody out to get him over to third, so maybe a ground ball or a fly ball will score him on the next hitter. They don't do the little things. Therefore, I think that's one of the reasons they're 0-9 in their last nine elimination games. But, hey, Tampa Bay last night, Charlie Morton was not great. He did not have his great stuff tonight, but he was able to gut it through five innings. They got the four homers. And Yandy Diaz, that was amazing last night. I mean, this guy hadn't hit a home run since the middle of July, and he hit two. And not only did he hit him opposite field.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing with the Tampa Bay Rays is they got a very good bullpen. You know, we saw it come down here. They basically had a bullpen day almost every single night against the Padres and came in here and, you know, whipped the Padres around. But that's just what they're built on. They got about 10 to 11 pitchers that are all studs. They only get about an inning in them, you know, each time out, but that's just how they built this team. I'm curious to see how they do against a lineup in the Houston Astros. It's very loaded with Bregman, Correa, Altuve, you know, a really tough lineup. Tommy Pham said after the game, he was talking about how, you know, I think we match up well with the Astros. The only thing that they'd have a slight advantage on is their offense, but I think we, you know, we're obviously good enough to beat them. No player's ever going to think they're not going to be able to beat the team that they're going to play next. But I'm curious to see that series play out. You got a team that's built on bullpen pitching and openers going against a team that's high-powered offense like the Houston Astros.
And we got two great ball games today coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, the NLDS Game 1, St. Louis and Atlanta. Right-hander Miles Michaelis on the hill for the Redbirds today, only 9-14 on the year with a 4.16 ERA, going against the veteran left-hander Dallas Keuchel, 8-8 and a 3.75. And then tonight at Dodger Stadium, NLDS Game 1, Washington going with left-hander Patrick Corbin, 14-7 on the year and a 3.25. Going against young right-hander Walker Buehler, 14-4 and a 3.26. When we come back, Jay Paris from Forbes is going to join us. I want to get his thoughts because he knows these guys very, very well. He was covering the Padres when all these guys played here. We're going to find out what Mark Loretta, Phil Nevin, Mark Kotze, or Brad Ausmus would bring to the table if they were named, one of them was named manager of the Padres. We'll also talk a little bit about the Angels search with Jay Paris as well. Coach John Cotera is getting warmed up. Thanks for joining me. We're going to 3 o'clock today right here on 97.3 The Fan. Well, 37 the time. Coach John Cotera going to 3 o'clock. Thanks so much for joining me. We're going to get out to your phone calls here shortly. Again, if you'd like to dial me up today, give me your opinion on who you think the Padres ought to go after for their next manager. Love to hear from you. We got a lot to cover today. Also want to remind everyone, if you're a high school football fan, make sure to download the Radio.com app today to listen to our Thursday night high school football show and our Friday night high school football game of the week on your smartphone, no matter where you are. Well, we also got Coach's Corner coming up here at about 12:50 as well. But right now we're going to head out on our newsmaker line. Longtime friend, great guy, longtime writer, working for Forbes now. Jay Paris joins us on 97.3 The Fan. Jay, how are you today?
Hey, you play a little Rolling Stones on that bump music coming me in. You know, that gets me going. Let's go, Coach.
I'm sure you were in the first or second row of several Rolling Stones concerts over the years.
You know, they always deliver, just like you, 12 to 3 every day, Coach.
I appreciate that. Let's start with the Padres, because I do want to get to the Angels a little bit, because what goes on here could affect what goes on there and vice versa. We got seven managerial openings right now in Major League Baseball. And Jay, I wanted to talk to you about some guys that you know and know real well, because you were covering the Padres. You're at spring training. You're in the clubhouse. You're in the dugout. You were there morning, noon, and night. I want to start with Mark Loretta. Mark Loretta, after his playing days, took a job in the Padre front office up until this past year, where he was the bench coach of the Chicago Cubs. Talk a little bit about what you think Mark Loretta would bring to the table as a skipper here in San Diego.
You know, his career was interesting, that he was a pretty good player, but really reached another level when he was with the Padres, had some of his best seasons. So he's a guy that's played with success, maybe a little over his head, but was also the ultimate grinder when he came up. And, you know, he was a bench coach right there with Joe Maddon the other day, this last season. And, you know, to show his fiery nature, the other day he got suspended for getting on the replay headset and telling the guys in New York they missed another call. So, you know, he's intriguing. he's certainly a local. You know, he's got that front office experience. He's got that connection with AJ. He's been a player. I guess the one mark would be he hasn't managed yet, and I'm not sure if the Padres want to overlap this go-around.
Well, and let's go to the next two I have, and then I'm going to get to Brad Ausmus here, number four. But Phil Nevin, we know Nevin. He's gruff, tough, but really a teddy bear, I think, inside that chest muscle.
Yeah, you know, he's always got that grumpy look on his face, and you'd always be a little apprehensive going up to him after a game. But win or lose, just like Trevor Hoffman, just like Tony Gwynn, just like all the great players in any sports, he was there on his stool waiting for the questions, and he'd give you a good answer. You know, there's probably the guys we're going to talk about, he's the most ready. I mean, he's interviewed with the Marlins. He's interviewed with the Padres back in 2015. He's interviewed with the Nationals, interviewed with the Diamondbacks. And when he didn't get the Diamondbacks job, you know, Tony La Russa, pretty good guy to give you a recommendation, he said he was almost the most major league ready of the guys. He's coached and managed teams to championships in Double-A, Triple-A. He's been Bruce Bochy's third base coach. That's pretty high praise. And you look here, he's in the playoffs with the Yankees, waving in runners from third is there. So, you know, local guy, knows the landscape. I think that would be a popular choice. He certainly paid his dues to get to where he is now.
We're visiting with Jay Paris from Forbes, talking about the Padre managerial search. I want to throw Mark Kotze's name out there because, you know, he has a lot of the same qualities, I think, that Phil Nevin does. He just hasn't managed yet.
Right. You know, 43 years old, has some great years with the Padres. He's done about everything but manage, you know, quality control, bench coach. He's been in the front office, hitting instructor. So I think he would be have empathy for all those positions and all those men working under him. Wherever he's gone, whatever he's done, whatever level, you know, two things come back, you know, knowledge and communication. He seems to click with people, and he seems like he's ready for that next step. Again, they would have to get over something that they haven't in all their managerial hires since going back to Jack McKean in the late 80s. That's hiring somebody who hasn't managed before. That seems to be the reputation or the trend the Padres have. Can they do that one more time? If they go to Brad Ausmus, they wouldn't have to worry about that.
We're visiting with Jay Paris here on 97.3 The Fan. Brad Ausmus has managed 4 years in Detroit, the 1 year up there with the Angels. What does Brad bring to the table?
He brings Ivy League education, which, you know, the Brainiacs that run in baseball now, that certainly lights a fuse. But more than anything else, a major league catcher for, you know, 20 years or so, just one of the more cerebral players in the game. And as a manager, you know, he won right away in Detroit. He was on the back end of the front end of a rebuilding job. He's been fired two of the last 3 years. Now, how can people get over that? You know, possibly. He's certainly a bright light, and he certainly knows the Padre landscape. He got dealt a tough hand up there in Anaheim this year, where he lost 90 games, something that Mike Scioscia hadn't done in the previous 19 seasons. So, you know, there'd be a little buyer beware, I think, of just his lack of success of late. But some of that, when you're managing a rebuilding team, the W's aren't going to be there. Ask Andy Green about that.
Hey, Jay, I want to ask you about some of the veterans. I want to start with Bruce Bochy. I mean, do you think the Padres should at least make a phone call to Bochy and find out where he's at?
Absolutely. Your job as a general manager is to overturn under rock every look under every rock, if you will. I mean, this is an organization that let AJ Hinch get away, and he's won a title with the Astros and is a favorite to get another one. Let Bochy get away, he won three in San Francisco. Let Doc Roberts get away, he's in his third straight World Series. Let Bud Black get away, went to the playoffs his first 2 years with the Rockies. They had a stinker this year, but a good baseball man. I think you ask everybody. I think this is such a critical year for this franchise. I mean, the 2020 is more than just 2020 vision. I mean, that's been the marker, the Padres, the organization, the front office. Everybody has put out that we're going to contend. We're not just going to play 500 ball. We're going to, go for a playoff spot. Well, that's pretty high cotton for an organization that's had 9 straight losing seasons and 11 of the last 12 on the wrong side of the ledger. So this is a huge hire. So to do your due diligence, I think you'd have to ask everybody. Would Boach do it? I don't know. I think he might take a year off and enjoy the fruits of his great career. But would I ask him? Absolutely.
Everybody's been saying, and I do believe the Padres need to hire someone with experience. I mean, whether it be a Socha or Buck Showalter or Joe Girardi, Ron Washington name has been thrown out there a little bit. But, the guys we mentioned, Loretta, Nevin Kotze, those three – I know those guys well, and you know them well, and I would feel comfortable with those guys running a ball game because I know those guys aren't going to be pushed around, and they're always going to be well prepared.
Yeah, but you got to look at it too. How's AJ Preller looking at this? You talk about somebody on a hot seat. That thing's got to be sizzling. Yes, he's proven he could build a farm system in almost every respected publication in baseball or a rating system gives the Padres 2 thumbs up, but can he build a major league roster? Can he build a winning roster? So far that needs to be proven. And Mr. Fowler was pretty serious the other day when he said heads were going to roll if something didn't come around in 2020. So I think the dynamics is really interesting, Coach. Do you want a gruff, tough coach who's going to run things his way when you're the general manager? And we certainly know how much the general manager has an input now on that first step of the dugout, if you will. I mean, they're sending down lineups, whatever. Or does he want somebody who would be more of a subordinate to him, thinking, this is my last year. If I'm going down, I'm going down my own way. So it's just another dynamic to this decision that's critical, really, for the Padres and as they go forward.
I want to jump up to the Angels. You've spent a lot of time the last couple of years there in Anaheim. I know you grew up as a kid not all that far from the ballpark, so you followed the Angel organization since you were a toddler. Mike Socha, I've always held in very, very high esteem. Talk a little bit about what you see in Socha, because he definitely wants to be back in it, and from what we hear, the Padres are going to interview him.
Yeah, he's that old-school guy, but I think he's adapted to the new wave of thinking, the analytics, if you will. Him and Jerry Tipoto certainly, they went at it pretty good. And Jerry lost that power struggle, and now he's up in Seattle trying to, end that long postseason streak of 18 years not getting the playoffs. So, Mike, he was really a National League manager in an American League uniform, if you will. He played the Dodger way of baseball, if you will. Get a guy on, move him over, and get him in, however way, you got to lay a punt down, whatever you got to do, hit and run. So, the game has changed, but I think Mike has changed with it. And his communication skills are off the charts. You don't last one place for 19 years unless you got a pretty good handle on how you handle a clubhouse. And he's very fluent in Spanish, which I know is a big factor with the Padres and their Latin players. So, a year off, a recharge, Mike Socha. The guy's a gamer now, and people respect him, and he's going to give you everything he's got to try to win every single night.
Jay, if AJ Preller's on the hot seat down here with all this great young talent that everybody tells us about, Billy Epler's got to be on a real, real hot seat right now.
Yeah, that thing's sizzling up there. The happiest place on earth is down the street, but I'm not sure his backside feels the same way. San Diego guy, Billy, grew up down here, loves his Chargers, and he grew up with the Padres, actually. But, he needs to do something. And, Artie Moreno is a great guy, and he lowered beer costs, and everybody loves him. But he's also, heading towards 74 years old, and he wants to win now. You got to remember, he wasn't his hands weren't on the wheels when they won it back in 2002. That was a Disney production. So Artie wants to win, and he wants to win now. Instead of extending Billy Epler's contract recently, he picked up the one-year option. So that tells you got to produce. And, last last offseason, Billy misfired on a couple of guys. Cody Allen was a busted $8 million, brought in Matt Harvey for $11 million. He gave you a 7 ERA and 3-5. And Trevor Cahill, our buddy here from Vista, he was going to be a starter, and he ended up getting demoted to the bullpen. So, you know, it's a team that's got the best player in the digs, and Mike Trout, and probably the most talented player is Shohei Ohtani. But it's been a familiar refrain that they need starting pitching. And let's be fair here, that the tragic death of Tyler Skaggs, that was a black cloud on the second half of the season that I don't know any team could overcome. But Billy has to produce, and he has to do it pretty quickly.
Hey, let me ask you right now, point blank, if you were A.J. Preller, who would you hire right now? Of the managers available, who would you hire?
Bucky Showalter. I think he's been with the Orioles, he's been with the Yankees, he's been with the Diamondbacks. He's built teams up to a championship level. Of course, we know the story that those teams usually win the titles the year after he leaves, but, you know, that means he's left that cupboard with a lot of goodies in it. And I just think he's seen everything. He's not going to get rattled. He certainly has a relationship with Manny Machado, his only manager there with the Baltimore Orioles. And he's got a relationship with A.J. I mean, they were the Texas Rangers together. So I think A.J. could have a trust factor in Bucky that maybe he may not have with the other candidates.
A.J., great stuff today. Thanks so much for the time. Keep up the great work out there.
You know, that new name there the Padres were going to mention from the managerial, I think it was Coach Quintero. You know, remember, they hired Jerry Coleman, so maybe they can bring you out of the booth, Coach. What do you think?
Well, you know what? I would be willing to talk to him.
Okay, I thought you got to talk to everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You never turn anything down. You always listen.
All right, go get him, Coach. Cheers.
All right, Jay. Jay Paris, a longtime writer working for Forbes right now, doing a great job, and really put a great perspective on all the candidates we talked to him about, and most of them don't have managerial experience, but they do have Padre ties. Hey, quick NFL note just came down. Vontaze Burfict, his appeal for a suspension going to be on Tuesday. He'll get an opportunity to visit with the folks at the NFL headquarters. So there we'll find out if he is going to get that thing cut down to where he can play a little bit more in 2019. But right now, gone for the season after that hit last weekend on Indianapolis's Jack Doyle. In the 1 o'clock hour, I want to get out to phone calls. I'm going to give you the phone number right now. You can get in line, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Jay Paris likes a Buck Showalter. Not a bad pick. You know, if it was either Socha or Showalter or Girardi, and you wanted an experienced manager, I would be okay with that. I like both those guys, or all three of those guys. But, you know, Socha, because I watched him manage a lot here with the Angels, I really like what he brings to the table. And Showalter done a great job of bringing young players along. And Joe Girardi's worked with young players as well as those superstars with the New York Yankees. So, boy, the Padres, I'm praying that we get one of these guys that's going to be a difference maker here. Let's get over to Braden and get to Coach's Corner.
Coach Cantara breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3 The Fan.
Let's get into it. You're talking about the NFL, so my first story for you is NFL-related. Melvin Gordon is definitely going to be part of the Los Angeles Chargers game plan Sunday against the Denver Broncos. Could also be the team's starting running back, Coach Anthony Lynn said on Thursday, although the Chargers do not want to overdo it. With Gordon, who returned to the team last week after an extended holdout, Lynn told SiriusXM NFL Radio that the two-time Pro Bowler will have a role Sunday against Denver. Gordon, of course, ended his 64-day holdout last Thursday when he reported to Chargers and was active last Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. He didn't play too much, though, as Austin Eckler and Tremaine Pope got all of the reps in that game. With Melvin Gordon being available to play, how much of an impact do you think Gordon will have on Sunday, and how long do you think it will take him to get back up to speed after sitting out?
I think it'll take him a little time. It'll be good to give him, maybe 7 to 10 touches on Sunday. We'll see where he's at. You know, I watched a lot of him on the sidelines last Sunday, but you know, it'll be a week and a half of practice. He ought to be fine. But again, it's all about the timing. But a guy that's played as much as him, it's only going to take him a couple of plays, get hit, and he's going to be right back in it physically and mentally.
Number two.
Let's get to the hockey, as hockey has started.
Oh, you love this story.
The story is great. Vegas Golden Knights winger Ryan Reeves expressed some disappointment that San Jose Sharks forward Evander Kane will miss their first two games of the season because of a suspension. Kane, of course, earlier this week was suspended for three games due to an outburst against an official over the weekend during a preseason game against the Golden Knights. Reeves and the Knights take on the Sharks in their first two preseason or their first two games of the season, one of which will be in Vegas while the other is in San Jose. Other players on Sunday, but Reeves said he did not understand why they would say why Kane would say what he said about how the NHL referees are treating him differently than other players. This is what Reeves had to say on the matter.
What's your reaction to Evander Kane getting suspended and that he won't be on the ice tomorrow night?
Poor Evander. Poor Evander. So tragic. I wish he was on the ice. It's always more fun when he's on the ice.
Do you think that there's any legitimacy to what he said about being treated differently than other players?
No. I don't understand why you would say that.
I think just the way the ref tried to break things up and ended up taking him down, he felt like he was victimized somehow.
Well, yeah, he's weak. Gets taken down by a ref. It happens.
How excited
are you? Got to get in the gym, no?
So, Coach, do you agree with Reeves? Do you think Kane needs to get in the gym? And how about hockey players just calling some people out?
No, I don't think he needs to get into the gym. But, you know what, we're going to have to take a look at that schedule and see when they match up again, when Kane will actually be on the ice.
Against Reeves? That should be a fun time. Let's get on to our third story.
Number three.
On to Jacksonville, where we got the Gardner Minshew mania is in full effect, and now they're now hoping to benefit off of this as well. The Jaguars are. Team is counting on the rock star status of rookie quarterback Gardner Minshew, as well as his headband and mustache, to help pick TIAA Bank Field by offering what it's calling the Minshew Mini Pack. It's a package of tickets to the team's next two home games versus New Orleans on October 13th and the New York Jets on October 27th. This includes a bandana, a mustache, and an opportunity to get a photo taken on the field wearing the gear. Ticket prices range from $41 to $600. Other people have embraced Minshew's wardrobe. They're wearing jorts, headbands, and aviators, and his 1970s-style mustache. Coach, are you buying in on Gardner Minshew, and when are you going to start repping the bandana and jorts?
Well, I don't think I'm going to be doing either, to be honest with you, but I will tell you this. I like him. I enjoyed watching him play at Washington State. It's a great story. I was telling my wife about it the other day. He actually was supposed to go last year and be a graduate assistant for Alabama and Nick Saban. Then Mike Leach calls and says, hey, come to Pullman. You'll lead the nation in passing. You know what? He did lead the nation in passing. Now he's a starting quarterback in the NFL and doing a hell of a job right now.
Number four.
A more sad story. The Air Force Academy's Falcon mascot, Aurora, died Wednesday, the school announced. Ooh. The bird, which made national news last year when she was abducted in a prank, was 23 years old. Aurora was a white phase Euro falcon, a falcon species that is extremely rare in the wild, according to the school's falconry program. She served as the Academy's mascot for more than two decades. Nice job for Aurora. Nice little stint, of course. And we will miss her greatly as a live mascot. But, Coach, do you have a favorite live mascot?
Well, you know, I always liked Ralphie the Buffalo there with Colorado, Bevo with Texas. So those are probably my two favorites.
That's it?
Yeah.
I like Bevo as well. Those are probably the best, too. You don't like any of the Bulldogs down the SEC?
Well, not necessarily. But, you know, the Georgia Bulldog's pretty cool, and he'll even reach out and bite an opponent from time to time.
That's true. Well, you better watch out for the Bulldogs on the sideline. Or Bevo when he's trying to attack one of the Bulldogs. That's it for today's Coach's Corner.
And this one is over.
That was the Coach's Corner.
All right, when we get into hour number two, we're going to open these phone lines up. I've given you a lot on the Padre managerial search. I want to hear from you. Who are you favoring right now? Who would you like to see be the manager of the San Diego Padres? Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973, and we're going to get into these two ball games tonight as well. Coach John Katera, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Katera Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.